Celebrating 40 years of music and ideas, 91.3 KBCS, a listener-supported public service of Bellevue College. You're about to listen to a segment of our program, Music and Ideas, hosted by Sean Donovan.
KBCS, 91.3 FM. From the famous stories of vampires and werewolves near Forks, to the Lady in Blue at Port Townsend's Palace Hotel, to numerous reported ghost sightings on Seattle's Capitol Hill, the Puget Sound is home to a rich history of the haunted and paranormal. So rich and lively, in fact, that there are apparently around 200 ghost hunting clubs in our state. We'll check in with one of them today. The Puget Sound Ghost Hunters is an all-volunteer paranormal investigation and research organization. They're busy with investigations nearly every weekend, with 2013 slated to be their busiest year on record. With me today to enlighten and quite possibly frighten us as to the nature of these investigations is Ken Arnold, co-president of Puget Sound Ghost Hunters. Ken, welcome to Music and Ideas.
Hey, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
What a delight to have you here and on such an auspicious day.
That's right.
What got you involved with paranormal investigations?
It happened in the year of 1968 when my parents bought a house in Des Moines. And we moved in the house, did a lot of repair on the house, and my parents bought a pool table, and we were upstairs, and somebody decided to play pool. And when nobody was down there.
Uh-huh.
The water in the tub would come on, the sink would come on, until the last experience I had is when I saw the gentleman looking at me through the living room window. And he smiled at me and floated away. So ever since then, I've been very interested in the paranormal.
And did you get involved with the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters? How did that start?
A friend of ours was having a party at their house, and the founder of Puget Sound Ghost Hunters, Stephanie, was there with her sister, and I started chatting with them and said, I would love to join. And then my wife, Donna, decided to join the club as well, and so we're basically co-presidents of the club now.
And you had, tell us how an investigation goes. When you get to a house or a building or a location, what happens?
Okay. Keep in mind that most of our cases are private cases now.
Mm-hmm.
And in my humble opinion, we're the number one club for private investigations in people's homes. Okay. So what they do is that they go on our website and submit a request. And I'll do a pre-interview, and then we'll set up a date down the road for a legit interview at their home. And if we decide that they do have activity, then we'll submit another date for the actual investigation. And then after the investigation, it takes about another 2 or 3 weeks to go through all our audio, video, pictures, and so on, and then we set up a date for the reveal at their home.
And you bring equipment, particular types of equipment, and to register or measure paranormal activity?
During the interview, we use the EMF detector. If you go into somebody's house and they're really close to a radio tower, the EMF, electromagnetic field. Say that really fast 3 times.
Right.
So if it's really high EMF, what will happen, it will make people paranoid, see things, the feeling of being watched, rashes, and stuff like that. So we try to debunk that during the interview process.
Okay, and you when you get there and you make contact or make a connection, what does that feel like?
It's a rush. I love it. I love it. You mean you're talking about connection with a spirit?
Yeah, say you're, yes, right, exactly.
Yes, yeah, You got to keep in mind our investigations, most of them are about 95-98% quite boring. But so, that little amount of percentage, you get that body rush, you keep going. You want more. You want more. You want more. I just love it. We have people on our team, especially my wife, Donna. She's been attacked several times. Paranormal scratches and that, but she keeps plugging away.
Now, when you say scratches, our producer Yuko Kadama chatted with you a little earlier today, and she relates a story of being at Girl Scout camp. Everyone knew the story of the Native American woman riding around on a horse, apparently, and they went out in a field, were out in a field listening to this horse riding around, and apparently it rode very close to them. They could feel the wind from the horse, of course, not see anything, but she ended up with a scratch on her arm. Now, tell me about these paranormal scratches.
To be honest, I don't know if it's actually related to the paranormal or if it's coming from within the body. For my wife, she's got an artificial hip that's connected with a titanium rod. And spirits draw energy, like for the rod, titanium rod. And she walks with a cane. So when we're in a place investigating, they might see her as a weakling or something. But she's gotten scratched where the scratches start bleeding. Hmm. And so on. So to give you an answer, what is a paranormal scratch? You know, if I had an answer to that, I'd be a very rich man. It needs to be studied more, in my opinion.
Now, we've got Halloween today. It has a sense. It's getting darker earlier, and you've got this sensation of things feeling scarier. Are there particular seasons you have where this sort of activity seems to, you get more calls, this activity goes up?
Yeah, sure. In the past, it's always been the fall and the winter, and that because the weather's changing. Storms, a lot of rain, and so on, that produces a lot of energy for the spirits to communicate. Plus, people are in their homes more, and they notice things more. During the spring and summer, it tends to kind of decline. But this year, over the years we've been doing it, we started in 08, this has been the busiest spring and summer we ever had. We've been going nonstop about every weekend since spring.
Huh. Why do you think that is?
I don't know if it relates to the year 2013, or I have no clue.
Wow. So things are looking up in the ghost hunting business.
Oh, yeah. We're swamped. We're swamped. Yeah. We're averaging about, I would say 5, maybe 6 requests per week. And we're doing this every weekend, so we're getting our months booked up.
Now, you say there's a very small percentage of occasions when you actually feel like you really make a connection. Have there been occasions when you've been absolutely scared out of your wits?
Oh, yes, sir, I have.
Any stories in particular stand out for you?
Okay, there's two of them. One was when we were at Fort Casey on Whidbey Island. And as soon as we got there, there was a knock at the door. We rented a NCO house at the fort. And as soon as we got there, there was a bang on the door. Well, my son and I, we opened up the door and there was nobody there. So we walked around the house, didn't see anybody. Okay, good start. Okay. So we started taking our equipment out of our cases. And my son said, "You guys got to be quiet." And we started listening, and there was a woman conversing with somebody in the kitchen, and there's nobody in the kitchen. So everybody went into the kitchen to try to communicate with the woman, and I stood by the front door with my camera to get a shot of them sitting in the kitchen. And as soon as I brought my camera up, the door flew open and hit me in the back. with so much force that the camera almost flew out of my hand.
Oh, that's giving me chills.
And keep in mind that in front of that door, there's a screen door, and it squeaked really bad, and I did not hear that screen door open. But on the audio clip, you can hear the deadbolt unlock. Okay. So when I turned around, I thought somebody kicked the door in. So I slammed the door, and I said some stuff that I shouldn't say here. But anyway, I shut the door, slammed the door shut. And then after reviewing the audio, between the door flying open and me shutting the door really quick, I got a voice saying, "Get out here."
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And then the second time, it was in Montana at the Deer Lodge Prison, which is not in use anymore. It's a museum. And my wife had a very bad experience there that kind of freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We were in the rec hall, I believe, and she started getting choked. And we helped her with that, and then her cane that she uses was knocked out from her hand, slid across the room on the floor.
Oh, boy.
And then later on that night, let me back up a little bit here. There was a main prisoner named Max. He did some very bad things. And so later on that, at the hotel, my son woke me up and said, "Something's wrong with Mom." And she was making some weird sounds, like a witch laughing and stuff. And I got up and I looked at my wife, and then it wasn't her. It was somebody else. And so the girls next door that was with the team, they are Reiki masters.
Uh-huh.
It's getting rid of negative energy.
So they deal with energy.
Yes. And so they worked on her for like 2 hours and finally got rid of it and things like that. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Now, there was a night where I stayed in a cabin at my father's place. They've got some cabins they rent out. And his house is up the road a bit, and I woke up from a terrible nightmare, and I was so freaked out, and that place felt so scary to me. I was 35, 40-year-old man at the time, and I fled back to their house and abandoned the cabin. Are there times when you've been in a situation where you've actually turned tail?
Yeah, a couple times. One time was at Woodbine Cemetery in Puyallup. I was sitting there trying to communicate to a gentleman that used to be a fireman, and his picture was on the tombstone. And I was telling him that I used to be a firefighter many years ago. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody came up behind me with a 5-gallon bucket of ice cubes and just dumped it on me. And this is like right close to the beginning when I started doing this. And let me tell you, I got up and ran. And I found one of our investigators. I was telling her about it. She goes, "Well, go back." And I went, "No, you go back."
Yeah, really?
You know, so and there was another time at Fort Casey. We were in the woods, and we had a member or a member walking in the woods with me, and all of a sudden she got hit in the stomach. And out of nowhere, you know. So I ran her out of the woods, and that's when I got attachment.
When you got what?
Attachment.
Attachment.
It's like a spirit attachment. They'll either go in between your neck and your shoulder blades or your lower back.
Oh, and then what? You're stuck with them?
And I didn't even know I had it until the founder of Puget Sound Ghost Hunters, Stephanie, She knows the Reiki practice very well, and she got rid of the attachment that way.
Oh, thank goodness. So you're not stuck with them for life, huh?
No. But that's part of the job, I guess.
So what sort of person, what sort of group is this? What kind of person is attracted to be a member of the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters and go out on these sorts of gigs? Have they had maybe more than the general populace experiences with the supernatural, or they just come from a place of curiosity?
Curiosity mostly, but we kind of interview potential members, and they have to go through a two-stage training period, the basic training and the private case training. And while they're on probation going through the basic training, they'll go to like open investigations like cemeteries or well-known haunted mansions or whatever. So they are observed by the more experienced members. And if they're good enough to be on our club, and then we'll put them into the private investigation training where we allow them to come into people's private homes.
So I read on your website that you're full up at the moment with investigators?
Yes, we are right now. Yeah. We don't want a large group.
Yeah.
I've known other clubs that had too many people, and it can become a mess. So we like to just keep it simple, like 10, 12 people. And it's like our second family. All our team members, we all get along. We have a lot of laughs together, and I just love them all. They're great people.
So you mentioned that you send people to particular places as part of their training. Are there some commonly known spooky places around this area?
Sure. We go to, like, Woodbine is a good one. We've gone to Black Diamond Cemetery, where I caught an apparition looking at me taking pictures. We go to Walker Ames Mansion in Port Gamble. That's a good training center. That house is very haunted. And off my head, Fort Case is a good training area as well.
Uh-huh. And if I were having, say, in the current house I live in, I remember when I first moved in, I was getting awakened a lot by noises in the night, and now it's the most peaceful place, and it just seemed like there was something weird about it for about a year or two, and then it kind of dissipated. What's your advice to people, or when should people call you, and maybe what can they do themselves to
Okay, that's a very good question. First thing people should not do is try to fix the problem themselves. Leave it up to people that are well-trained in this field. Because if people are wondering what's going on in their house, they'll seance, or another thing is like the Ouija board. You don't want to use a Ouija board.
Mm.
Because that, if they use it, let's say they're trying to contact a past relative, they can open up a portal. And something that's negative can come through that portal and pretend that it's their past relative, and it's not. And that can affect the house. Negative things can start. So I would suggest to leave it to people that are trained in this field, that do it constantly like we are, and we know what to do and what to expect. And when we do private cases, it's all confidential. This is between us and the client.
Mm-hmm.
We don't post anything on Facebook or whatever. The only thing we post on Facebook is like open investigations, like the cemetery and haunted mansions and stuff like that. But somebody's private home, we respect that 150%.
And you guys do all this for no charge?
No charge.
So you mentioned Facebook. People can find you, the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters, on Facebook as well as on the web at your website?
Yeah, our website is psghosthunters.com.
And you have, so as one kind of last question, that right around Halloween right now, are you booked for the weekend?
We are going to, yeah, we are. We're going to, we have an open investigation for Casey.
Uh-huh.
And we got the doctor's house rented and two NCO houses next door rented out. So that's going to be an all-night adventure for us. So this is probably about maybe the fourth, fifth time we've been there. And it's been different every time.
Okay. That sounds like a potentially pretty scary weekend in store.
And also, you know, they can also come on if people have questions. They can go on to Facebook and send a question. And we'll, you know, we'll answer back right away.
Okay. Ken Arnold, co-president of Puget Sound Ghost Hunters, what a delight to talk to you today on Halloween.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Yeah. And enlightening us as to the what you're up to with paranormal investigations.
Oh, sure. Sure. And if anybody has anything that's going on in the house, just reach us by our website, fill out a request, and my wife, Donna, or myself will call the client, and we'll talk over the phone and go from there. And that's about it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for talking with us.